This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, April 21st, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear from Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, where she discusses Somali pirates. And we'll check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana that gets to the 80s by the end of the week. But first, today's news. Illinois lawmakers return to the state capitol today for the final march toward the end of the spring legislative session. Sean Crawford reports they have plenty left on their plate.
Fresh off a two-week break, the legislature is scheduled to be in every week from now until the end of May. Governor Pat Quinn says it's time to get down to business in the 40 days and 40 nights ahead.
We've got to have the most energetic, enthusiastic, productive legislative session in my lifetime in Illinois. We've got a lot of work to do to straighten things out and make things better for people who need a job.
Even though an income tax increase, construction program, campaign finance reforms, and other issues have been talked about for weeks, serious negotiations often don't get underway until closer to the session's end. Quinn says for his part, he's willing to listen to what others have to say and compromise where necessary, but he says the state must address its ballooning budget deficit. As for whether or not an overtime session might be necessary, Quinn says he wants to get everything wrapped up on time by May 31st. I'm Sean Crawford.
Getting a peek at Governor Quinn's taxes isn't as easy as you might think. Quinn didn't make copies of them available yesterday when he released the returns, instead requiring people to make appointments to see them at his Chicago or Springfield offices. Other politicians, including President Barack Obama, emailed copies of their returns. A Quinn spokesman said in an email that Quinn prefers viewers take notes from his original documents. The returns show Quinn is getting money back from Uncle Sam. He's due to receive a refund of $9,000. Last year's returns cover Quinn's time as Illinois' lieutenant governor. Quinn didn't become governor until January, when lawmakers removed former Governor Rob Blagojevich from office. Home bakers who have been selling their goods at the Urbana Farmers Market have been speaking out against a health department order that would put them out of business. It was an issue that got the Urbana City Council's attention last night, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
For years, the city-operated market on the square in downtown Urbana has featured local bakers, including many who bake in their home kitchens, which don't undergo health inspections. But this month, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District announced a ban on the sale of home-baked goods at farmers' markets and similar venues. The home bakers say the ban came at the last minute, as their preparations for this year's farmers' market are already underway. Alderwoman Heather Stevenson says the ban has upset a lot of people.
I've, in 3 days, heard from about 20 people, so that's too many to not say anything. So that's my two cents on it. Let's support local vendors who make the farmers market a fun place to go and who make it so that we can take good baked goods home.
Mayor Laurel Pressing says a memo she received Monday from Public Health District Board Chair Carol Elliott seems to say the home-baked goods are allowed at farmers markets after all, as long as they don't involve fillings that need refrigeration. Pressing says she'll check into the matter further. Urbana's Market on the Square opens May 2nd. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
11 state historic sites shuttered since December will reopen their doors this week. Amanda Vinicky has that story.
Historic Preservation Agency spokesman Dave Blanchett confirms the sites will again welcome visitors starting Thursday. Blanchett says almost every day since they were closed down, the state heard complaints from tourists, schools, and other groups.
We certainly hope that having these sites open again will make them happy, and that these people will visit and they will encourage their friends and family to visit as well.
Former Governor Rod Blagojevich closed down the sites late last year, as well as many state parks, to slim down the budget deficit. Current Governor Pat Quinn calls that move false savings, as he says the sites are economic engines. Quinn reopened the parks shortly after he became governor. The historic sites reopening will cost $800,000. Last week, 30 workers who'd been let go in December from them were rehired. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Governor Quinn and other dignitaries will officially reopen the sites at a 1:30 ceremony on Thursday at the Dana Thomas House, a Frank Lloyd Wright design home in Springfield. The rest of the sites, including the Lincoln Log Cabin site at Lerna near Charleston, will be open for business Thursday at 9. You can receive information about emergencies in Champaign County by email or text message through a new service being launched this week by local public safety agencies. Champaign County residents can sign up for the new service at champcoprepares.com. Urbana Fire Department Division Chief Tony Foster says it's that easy to sign up.
It asks you general questions like your name and address, your email address, and then what phone number you would like the text and email sent to. And then allows you then to select weather warnings if you want information from the University of Illinois or something like that. It will then prompt and send that information to your wireless device.
Foster says if you work far from home, you can get information for both areas by writing in the zip codes for both places. CHAMP, that's CHAMPCoPrepares.com, is getting its official unveiling this week. Foster says other counties in Illinois are also launching this service. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Pirates are the stuff of legend and of real life. We know that from current headlines and current law. Commentator Amy Guida gives us the legal background on pirates in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Pirates have never much worried me. That's probably because a pirate to me is a child who toddles around wearing a black hat emblazoned with a skull and crossbones and waving a plastic sword, yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of milk. But people we also call pirates today are clearly not as innocent. We've recognized that over the past few months as modern-day pirates have taken over ships, killing some on board and holding others hostage. They are much more reminiscent of Captain Hook than Captain Crunch. The laws of the United States attempt to combat the evil side of piracy. This statute, for example: whoever on the high seas commits the crime of piracy and is afterward brought into or found in the United States shall be imprisoned for life. Or this: whoever, being a citizen of the United States, commits any murder or robbery or any act of hostility against the United States on the high seas is a pirate and also faces life imprisonment. The modern-day pirate statutes spring from a rich history of piracy and the suggestion that lawmakers do something about it. There's even language in the Constitution regarding pirates. The Congress shall have power to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas. That language seems clear enough. But back in 1820, those words became an issue after a fellow named Thomas Smith and crew mutinied their own ship and took over another, named poetically the Irresistible. The government charged Smith with piracy, but he argued that Congress hadn't properly defined that term as the Constitution required, and that instead the job of defining piracy had been left up to judges. The piracy statute back then sounded much like it does today, simply that anyone who committed the crime of robbery on the high seas was a pirate. Even so, ultimately the Supreme Court decided that Smith's argument had to fail. "We all know pirates when we see them," the court explained, "and we all recognize their danger. Piracy is an offense against the universal law of society," the court explained, "and pirates are enemies of the entire human race." So when Smith's indictment accused him of plunder and robbery, that alone would be piracy under the circumstances. "A pirate is a sea thief," the justices wrote, one of multiple definitions they used. They held that no one need define the term with any greater precision. But Congress is ready to do so should modern-day problems bring about the need for more in-depth language. Lawmakers left the piracy statutes ready for change, noting that the anti-piracy law should be reconsidered and modified in accordance with the needs of the times. You can bet that the Justice Department has had a look at that law during the past few months. So the United States is very serious about punishing pirates and has been for a long time. That, plus the current situation, is almost enough to make you want to stop seeing cute little Roger in that pirate hat as quite so jolly. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Showers are likely today, the high around 50 degrees. Windy conditions, gusts up to 25 miles an hour to 35. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 38. Mostly sunny Wednesday, the high around 62. Partly cloudy Wednesday, the low around 38 degrees. Wednesday night, that is, and warmer Thursday with mostly sunny with a high in the lower 70s. We could reach 83 on Friday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.